Okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, it's like a little bit of a echo type sound, but it's good.
How about now?
Much better.
Okay. So, yeah, because I'm on two devices, to be honest with you. I'm trying to figure it out. Okay. So, let's start in a minute. We'll wait. Okay. So, we talked yesterday. Someone actually told me it was, it was a big chiddush. It was a very, very important concept we shared yesterday, that Reb Chaim Volozhiner learns that the whole musig of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the world is the same as the neshama's relationship with the person's guf. And we never speak again about Ein Sof. We never speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We always speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interactions with the world. And the way he interacts with the world is with a concept of ayin, with a concept of regel. These are real midos or tools with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the Bria. And the ayin and the regel and the yad that we have as people, that's fakir, that's a mashal to this, right? That was what we said yesterday, that's all a mashal to what to the yad and regel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just saw today that this actually answers or deals with a very, very shver Rambam. The Rambam says it's not a shver Rambam. Now, in the footnotes, I'm just getting the Rambam, in the footnotes, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner says that the Rambam does not hold this. The Rambam says very clearly that when it says yad and regel in the Torah, it's just a mashal ba'alma, that we should understand it better. But there's no real yad, there's no real regel, there's no real einayim that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has. Okay, that's what the Rambam holds, and the Rambam actually writes this in the Rambam in the Sefer Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam writes, anyone who says that Kodesh Baruch Hu has a yad or a regel is a koifer. And the Ravid says, I don't know why he's a koifer. Plenty of people say that. As a matter of fact, the pasuk says it, that he has ayin and regel. So for many generations, people saw this Ravid and kind of were tamua on it. But the Ravid holds Hashem as a guf, chas v'shalom. It's a basic tenet of our emunah that a Kodesh Baruch has no guf, first of all. And second of all, it makes no sense when Hashem has a guf. So I saw today, finally, after a long time, I saw this Rambam, this Ravid many years ago, and it's hard to understand. And today I saw that some want to say that what the Ravid means is this, that Reb Chaim Volozhiner is saying from the Mekubalim, that there is actually a real midah of Yad and Regel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. So it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just being used as a mashal in the Torah. It's the opposite. The Yad and the Regel in the Torah is the real Yad and Regel. And our Yad and Regel is the mashal. So that's probably pshat in the Ravid. So I thought that was very, very, very fascinating. Gilui as to pshat in the Ravid. Okay, now, let's go further. So what we said basically was, is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu interacts with the world with the midah of Yad, the midah of Regel, and this is how he interacts with the world, okay? And again, whenever we are addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, we're addressing his interaction with the world, and this, now, he goes on to Perek Vav, a fascinating thing, which again, this is one of those connector points between Shar Beis and Shar Aleph, okay? Sorry. This is one of those connector points between Shar Beis and Shar Aleph, okay? And he says the following. He says that if you have a question, does achila, does the neshama of a person, can the neshama of the person eat? Does the neshama of a person eat? What's the answer to that question? Well, no, obviously, right? Neshama is spiritual. Neshama doesn't eat, right? Okay. Now, so what eats? The guf, right? Okay. Now, what keeps a person alive? What keeps a person alive is eating. What keeps a person alive is eating, right? So it's a fascinating thing. The neshama doesn't eat. The neshama doesn't eat. But if a goof doesn't eat, then the person dies, which means the neshama leaves the goof. So really, you had a question. What's sustaining the neshama? It's an interesting philosophical question. What's sustaining the neshama is the food, even though the neshama doesn't eat. So in other words, eating is a process through which, even though what you're doing is sustaining the guf, it's sustaining the shidduch between the guf and the neshama. What's allowing the neshama to stay inside the body is when the body engages in the form of achila. That is what it's allowing the neshama and the guf to stay together. Okay? Because when a person dies, that what that means is that the neshama and the guf separate. Okay, so Zogt B'chaim V'lozhenor, again, this is the bridge now into Shar, back to Shar Aleph. So he says, just like food, which really, you want to know, does food make the neshama more healthy? No. But Hashem set up a system that if you don't eat, then neshama just leaves. The neshama leaves the guf. Person dies. So he says that just like the neshama, just like the body, the relationship between the neshama and the guf needs achila in order to keep it going, the relationship of a Kadosh Baruch Hu with the Bria needs achila. What's achila? Torah and mitzvahs. Our Torah and mitzvahs and tefillah are the achila which keeps the relationship between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the world in sync. And if we don't do our share, we don't do Torah, mitzvahs, and tefillah, then, chas v'shalom, then the neshama of the world will leave the world. And therefore, just as achila is crucial in order to keep the person's relationship with his neshama, with his guf, neshama and guf together, so too, Torah and mitzvahs is what keeps the neshama and the guf of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, inside the world. Okay, and this is how he says it in the beginning of Perek Vav. He says very, very nice words here. I'm going to read it from Perek Vav, chapter 6 in the Sefer, if you have it. He says like this, the same way that the chibur and of the neshama and the guf, it's through eating and drinking, and without that, he part of it, he's like, may I go off. The neshama leaves the gulf. Cain, chibur atzmusa yizbarach eloi lama. It's a connection between Hashem and the world. Shein soida adam agadol kedei lahamidam ulakaimam, that keeps the world together. Tigal nafshay oisam, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't, want to leave us. Gazra ratzoina yizbarach sheyatoli beisek haTorah umasei hamitzvus avodas hatfila shel am segula. Hashem made that it should be toli in our Torah and our mitzvus. Built on, and without that, Hayahu Yizbarach Masalik Atzmusa Yizbarach Ukirega Hayuchoizum Kulam LaEfes V'Ayin. Everything will go back to nothingness. Okay, so this is the concept that he says, and he brings a few rayas to this, that Achila and Shtia is what is the parallel to the Torah and mitzvahs. Okay, what else does he add in here? And therefore, let's just keep going. There's different types of foods, right? There's some foods that keep you alive. There's some foods that are not so healthy. And there's some foods that you just do for vitamins. You're not going to die without them, but it's vitamins. So he says, this is really every single mitzvah that we do has the same level. There's some mitzvahs, if a person does the real mitzvahs, that's what's keeping the chibur of Kadosh Baruch Hu with the world going. There's some mitzvahs which, they're not so healthy, weak, but at least he doesn't die. So those are the weaker mitzvahs that we do that keep a Kadosh Baruch Hu related to the world. And then there's some that we do for extra credit, like vitamins. There's some mitzvahs that we do just to make us healthier. That these are mitzvahs that we're not mechuyev to do. These are mitzvahs that we don't need to do, but by doing it, we strengthen the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world, and we make the HaKadosh Baruch Hu able to be even more present inside the Bria, be even more present in the world, because we've strengthened his relationship with the world by engaging in those extracurricular, extra credit type of mitzvahs. Okay? Now, he brings all sorts of different makoris in Chazal, in the Zohar, in the Psukim, all different sources that there's wording used in Psukim when it refers to mitzvahs and it refers to them as achila, as food, or as lechem, as bread. And it's all the same concept, essentially. The Torah and mitzvahs are there to Hashem made that this is what keeps the world going. Okay? What I just said to you now was, he says, now, very interestingly, in the end of the third Haggah, there's a Haggah is a footnote. In the end of Haggah number Gimel, he says an interesting thing. He says that the more a person is spiritual, so the more that their food, in other words, the food is doing the same thing to the neshama as the mitzvah is doing within a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. So if you live in a Bria, if you live in a world that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is so present, so what that would mean would be is that in your world, the neshama would be so strong that the guf would almost not be there. So if you take Adam HaRishon before he sinned, right? According to the setup we're doing, Adam HaRishon before he sinned, it said he was never going to die. That means that it would have been impossible to remove the neshama from the guf. He was never going to die. What that means is that that means he was really basically a purely spiritual creature. His neshama couldn't have been separated from the guf. So in that existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so much more present in the world also, because it's the same relationship. As much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in the world, as much as your neshama is present in your guf. So before Adam Rishon sinned, Hashem was all over the place, right? Hashem was clear. You just saw Hashem everywhere, right? So that means if Hashem is so clear, so that means when you're the covering was much weaker. You saw Hashem. So therefore, the neshama inside the guf, when you'd see a person, you would see neshama, basically. You wouldn't even see the guf. And that's probably why Adam Rishon didn't have to wear clothing before. Because just as when you would look at the Bria, you would see Hashem. And the Bria was just like, you know, it was just there, but it wasn't covering over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the guf was just, you know, it was nothing. You saw the neshama of the person. So there was no reason to wear clothing because there's no reason to hide the guf. Because it was just like you saw straight through it and you saw the neshama. Because the neshama was as visible to in the Bria as the Hashem was in the Bria. And that's why at that point, to sustain the relationship of guf and neshama, Adam HaRishon only had to eat very, very spiritual food. That's what he says. That's what Nefesh HaChaim says. That's pshat in the Gemara, that it says that the Adam HaRishon, before he sinned, the Malachim cooked him supper. That's what it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says Hamalachim Hayutzolim Le Basar, that the Malachim would cook for a supper. What that means is that he ate such a spiritual type of food because it didn't require from him any sort of physical food to retain the relationship between body and soul. The relationship between body and soul was so strong that he only really had to eat spiritual food. He was barely a guf. The guf was not so present. So the food he ate was much more spiritual food. It's only as we become more physical does the food have to become more physical. And the same thing, that the mitzvahs that we do have to take on a new role of keeping HaKadosh Baruch Hu more present in the world. So this is how the world is set up in a way that Hashem is as present in the world. Hashem is as present in the world as our neshamas and our guf. And for those people that are more in touch with the neshama, like the gedolim, that they live in the world of neshama, for them they see HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a different level also. Okay, so you know that's the concept. Mr. Shem will continue. We'll continue with this. I remember again the context. We got to get back to the concept of tefillah. Where does tefillah? You know, what's the avodah of tefillah? So we've explained a lot of concepts, but we still have to get back to that eventually. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Hey, have a good night. Good night.
Have a good night, everyone. Shkach.